This is MSO News. I'm Rick Moore, and really happy now to be talking once again with Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr. And Senator Tarr, welcome back. Happy New Year, and how are you?
Well, thanks, Rick. It's great to be starting off the new year with you. We always look forward to these conversations, and I'm doing well. I hope you are also.
Yes, sir.
And very much looking forward to continuing to be able to do our updates from here on Beacon Hill.
I appreciate that, and let's get right to it. Don't know. I haven't really been keeping up the last couple of weeks. Frankly, since the November election, I've been surviving on kitty videos and cat videos. So maybe you could update me as to what's going on in Beacon Hill with you.
Well, you know, Rick, the wheels are starting to turn here. We were all sworn in actually on New Year's Day. The Constitution requires us to convene on the first Wednesday of the year. And we did that, and with that behind us, now we're moving toward some of the routine business of the Senate. And the first order of business was to file bills, and the deadline for filing bills was this past Friday. And the numbers, Rick, are in, and in the Senate, there were 2,444 bills filed, and in the House, there were 4,185 bills filed for a total of 6,629. And so that's a lot of legislation, Rick, but it speaks to the nature of the process here in Massachusetts, where not only can legislators file bills, but constituents can file bills through their legislators. And we are a broadly inclusive legislature that gives a lot of opportunity for participation. And that is what is reflected in that number of 6,629 bills. And Rick, I should point out that those are bills that were timely filed. They were filed by the deadline, which means they must have a public hearing. They must be given consideration. There will be the opportunity now for what we call late file bills. So a bill can still be filed, but to be considered, it has to be admitted by the House and the Senate. So a lot of volume here, and I should point out that of those 6,629 bills I filed, 168 of them.
Well, I was going to ask you on what stands out in your mind as to, some kind of an order of importance.
Well, there are a lot of priorities here, and we're trying to wrestle with a lot of issues on Beacon Hill that I think we need to address. One of them is certainly the environment, and I was able to file some bills that have to do with carbon sequestration to try to get more carbon out of our atmosphere to help combat global warming and climate change. I was able to file legislation that will make our state more competitive by helping employers with reducing some expenses. We're also able to file legislation that we hope will help us deal with drought conditions, which we've been facing a lot over the last few years. And of course, we've been working on the criminal justice front as well to make sure that if someone is dangerous, and they are before the court and they pose a continuing threat to public safety, that they can be held until their matter is adjudicated and a decision can be made to give them a just result. So legislation, as you can imagine, Rick, is filed all across the spectrum. And one of the other things that's very important that I'm going to be working with my colleagues on is trying to make sure that our communities have adequate funding for their local schools. And that, is, you know, is determined by a formula, and that is contained in Chapter 70 of the General Laws. And a lot of us think and have thought for a while that that formula needs to be adjusted because it isn't providing fair or adequate amounts of funding to our local school districts. So quite a bit of legislation filed on that, also on the subject of special education. But as you can imagine, Rick, with 200 legislators and lots of different concerns across the Commonwealth, there have been bills that have been filed that touch on all manner of subjects. And all of that, by the way, can be reviewed at malegislature.gov. And so all of these bills will be online, and you can track them there as well.
There's a headline in the State House News Service from a couple of days ago that says, Keenan, Tarr make bipartisan rules pitch. What does that mean?
So that is the next important thing that we have to address ourselves to in the legislature, Rick. As we become organized for the new year, the new two-year session, one of the first things that we have to do is adopt rules that govern the proceedings. And there are joint rules which govern the proceedings of the House and the Senate, and there are separate rules that are adopted by the House and the Senate to govern their own proceedings. And what Senator Keenan and I were opining on in a recent editorial or an op-ed to the Boston Globe was that we need to have bipartisan work to improve the rules, to make sure that members have time to read the bills before we have to make decisions about them, that the public has the opportunity to see the bill, and that we try to increase the amount of actual in-person participation in the legislature as opposed to remote participation, which is certainly an important part of what we do, and it's with us to stay because there are incidents and circumstances that make it hard for members to be physically present. The House rules do generally require now in-person participation. The Senate rules are a little bit more broad. But the bigger point that we were trying to make and that we will be trying to make is that the rules can be more transparent, and they should be more transparent. And I'll give you an example. The Senate has long been a champion of posting roll call votes on the web so that folks can see how we vote on pieces of legislation. The Senate does that when it relates to a Senate committee. But with regard to the joint committees that are comprised of House and Senate members, those votes are not posted on the web. And so we're going to be making a push, and there is broad bipartisan agreement in the Senate to do this, to include those votes on the web as well. So we're going to be looking comprehensively at measures that we can undertake to make sure that we're doing business in a timely way, that the public knows what's happening, that members and the public have a chance to read the legislation before we have to vote on it, and so that we can hear from our constituents before those decisions are made. So I think, Rick, we have the best opportunity we've had in some time at the beginning of this session to try to get some of those changes made. And I think the only way we'll get there is with bipartisan collaboration. The Senate President has certainly signaled that she wants to see significant change around transparency. Obviously, we in the Senate GOP caucus have been working for that for years. So it seems like we are going to have a good opportunity, and I hope we can take advantage of it.
You know, that's a key word that I hope to talk to you more about down the line, transparency. But we'll leave that for another day. Senator, I want to congratulate you on getting a baby of yours taken care of and adopted. I think it bodes well for the area of fishing industry and seamanship in general. And that's the bill that you finally were able to get passed regarding abandoned fishing gear. So maybe a little victory lap, if you don't mind.
Happy to take one on this subject, Rick, which is not just my effort, but a tremendous team effort here in the legislature, and also an effort that was supported significantly by the Division of Marine Fisheries, who made the case early on about the need for this legislation. And I worked with them to study examples of similar legislation around the country. We took what we thought were the best of those examples, and we wove them into the bill that ultimately passed. And it passed, Rick, as an amendment to the economic development bill that we had done a while ago. And this legislation, now law, is an absolutely important tool, a critical tool, to try to protect the marine environment, to try to protect the right whales, which we know are endangered species. And as we've talked about in the past, a significant percentage of all of the right whales in the world are in Massachusetts waters for a significant period of the year, which is why the lobster fishing industry is paying such a heavy price with shutdowns to be able to protect those whales. And it's interesting to note that the Massachusetts Lobstermen's Association was a major proponent of this legislation, which essentially changes the rules and allows the environmental police and anyone that they might authorize to work on their behalf to remove abandoned gear from the water. And that's important for a variety of reasons. Most importantly, when abandoned gear is in the water, it poses a threat of entanglement with right whales, but it also ghost fishes. It oftentimes continues to fish and increases mortality in species like lobster or if it's gill nets on finfish, and that fish is never going to be eaten. It's never going to be used. It is a waste. And so being able to get the gear out of the water so it doesn't ghost fish, so it doesn't present a risk of entanglement, and so that it doesn't degrade the marine environment That is an important task to be able to achieve. And now, with this modernization of the law, the environmental police and all of the folks in state government have the authority to do that, the ability to do that, and hopefully it's going to make a significant difference.
I think that's a great thing, and once again, congratulations on that, because that really hits home. You know, as a Gloucester person myself, and I know so many fishermen and fishing families and so on, and who care about the environment, not just for their own food, but also, you know, for nature and the world itself. So I appreciate that. Senator, anything else you want to mention?
Well, I would just say, Rick, as well, we look forward to the legislative session. We're going to have a number of challenges. It won't be that long before we start talking about the state budget. And the numbers that we're getting right now are indicating that revenue growth for the coming fiscal year is not going to be as robust as it has been in the past. And we also see dwindling federal support that we've been getting over the course of the COVID pandemic and the bipartisan infrastructure law and things of that nature. So pretty soon, Rick, we're going to turn our attention to budgeting. And there'll be hearings across the state, and we'll be eager to tell you about what those opportunities are for people to weigh in on what they think should be our budgetary priority.
Very much look forward to that. That's Massachusetts State Senate Minority Leader Bruce Tarr with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.